Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Grab yourself a Bible, turn it to Philippians chapter 3. Before I pray and before we get into the message, I just want to remind you on the foyer table, there is a box with a sign next to it that says Christmas offering for families in need. So basically, that's what we want you to do. If you're interested in helping a few families from our church in need this Christmas, please do so there. This is the only Sunday we will be collecting for that. And tomorrow night, our leadership council meeting will be figuring out exactly how we're going to go about distributing that, but it will go into the hands of families that do need it. We are in the midst of a series right now called A Merry Mindset, and basically what I like to do is usually a Christmas series focused on relationships, so it kind of gets us ready for what we need to do, and for some of you would say endure this holiday season, which is being around a lot of people, dealing with gifts and dealing with dinners and dealing with whose house are we going to and all these different things. And sometimes all the stress of all those different things can cause us to kind of lose it a little bit, blow our testimony, not be the best Christian that we could possibly be. So I believe that the Bible teaches that most of the sins start in our mind. So what I'd like to do is, or what I've been doing, is kind of like looking at areas of our mindset. So today we're going to talk about a mindset of optimism. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we just do thank you for this day. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. I thank you for the fact that we are free to come and gather and worship and hear your word. I pray, Lord, that that you would just be glorified in everything that's said and done here this morning. I pray, Lord, and that we're mindful about just everything that's going on in this world, the terror attacks in California and Paris and London, just all these different things that are going on around our world, Lord. I pray that you would bring justice swiftly. I pray that you would intervene in these situations, that you would comfort the families that have been affected. I pray, Lord, that you would just help those who need the help. I pray, Lord, for the people in our church that are suffering, Lord, for those that are in and out of the hospital and dealing with illnesses, dealing with cancer. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to comfort them and their families as well. I pray now that as we get into your word, that you would minimize the distractions for us so we can focus our attention on you and our mindsets could be changed. And I'm just thankful again for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is the difference between an optimist and a pessimist? Well, someone once said, an optimist invented an airplane, but a pessimist invented what? Does anybody know? A parachute, okay? A great example of an optimist and a pessimist are the well-known characters in Winnie the Pooh. Remember these characters? Yeah. Our first one, Eeyore, the pessimist, right? Eeyore is constantly glum, rarely has a smile on his face, says things like this, I would look on the bright side if I could find one, okay? Poor Eeyore, when we look at him, it makes us sad. If you grew up reading those books or watching those little movies or shows, he's a pessimist. He is a pessimist, and most pessimists, if you're a pessimist out there, you would say, no, he's not a pessimist. He's a realist, okay? Eeyore is a realist because that's life, okay? On the other hand, we have this, what pessimists would say, annoying character named Tigger. He bounces around in the happy-go-lucky state. Remember Tigger? Everybody loves him. I'm not going to do a Tigger impersonation or anything like that, but do you want me to know? He says things like this. Once in a while, someone amazing comes along, and here I am, okay? That's Tigger, right? That's Tigger. He's a fun-loving character. Every optimist loves Tigger. Pessimists, not so much. But the question I have for you is this. Are you a Eeyore, or are you a Tigger? And maybe most of you are probably saying something like, well, you know what? I'm somewhere in between. Sometimes I'm an Eeyore, sometimes I'm a Tigger. But most of the time, the situations that we find ourselves in life can dictate our outlook on how we feel about life, okay? Most of the situations or the places we find ourselves in life kind of dictate our outlook, whether we're negative or positive. Bad situations oftentimes depress us, and good situations oftentimes make us happy. So we think either negatively or positively. But should situations in our life determine our outlook? Should the things that happen to us or the places we find ourselves in, should they really dictate our outlook on life? I believe that God wants us to be optimistic type people. Pastor Craig Groeschel said it this way about being optimistic. He says, I am not optimistic based on how I feel. I'm optimistic based on what God's word says. Okay, so basically what we're trying to do here is what we want to look at this morning is this. All the situations around us can either determine how negative or how positive we are, but biblically speaking, we have to look at what the Bible says about our situation, what the Bible says about who we are, and what the Bible says about our mindset. So an optimistic mindset does not come from our life situations, but it comes from the truth of God's word. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to learn five things from Philippians chapter 3 that teach us about how to have an optimistic mindset. How to have an optimistic mindset. So we're going to start in Philippians chapter 3. And the first two things are things that we can claim when we trust in Jesus. Things that we can claim when we trust in Jesus. And let me just clarify for you. When a person trusts in Jesus, they become a Christian. The Bible is clear about this, that we are all sinners that need a Savior. The Bible is abundantly clear. The Savior's name is Jesus. We celebrate him coming to this earth in a few weeks at Christmas time, right? So the Bible tells us that God came to earth as the God-man, Jesus Christ, lived a sinless life, but died a criminal's death on our behalf for our sins. So when Christ was dying on the cross, he was dying because he was paying the price for our sins. The Bible also says that 3 days later, Christ rose from the dead to prove that he was God. And the Bible is clear when it says this, all who believe in Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection will have eternal life. When you believe in Jesus, you've crossed from death to life, like we just saw in baptism. You've crossed from death to life. Now you are a Christian. It's not about doing good works. It's not about coming to church. It's not about being a good person. It's about trusting in Jesus. So at the moment a person trusts in Jesus, something amazing happens. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us and help us. That's God's Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us and help us. But we have an eternity in heaven. And that's what Paul is talking about in verse 12 here. In verse 12, he says this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So now in the preceding verses, to verse 12, Paul is actually talking about the completion of his salvation. Paul trusted in Jesus Christ as a Savior, and now he's saying, here's what I have not already attained. I have not already attained my place in heaven. So the first thing that we as Christians can claim is this, I have a future in heaven. In order to have an optimistic mindset, we have to constantly remind ourselves that we have a future in heaven. There's nothing anyone can do about that. We are sure that we have a future in heaven because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. See, do you know a major factor for many people to have a negative mindset is uncertainty? Especially when it comes to what happens after death. Because people are uncertain. They go to a funeral or somebody they love dies and they're wondering, what happened to that person? Where are they? What's going to happen to me when I die? Every time I do a funeral, I ask that same question. Are you thinking about your afterlife? Because guess what? There is an afterlife. And the truth of the matter is, if you're uncertain, all of a sudden your mindset is different. Because you're negative then. Because you don't know what's going on. You don't know what the promises are from God's word. And you know what? You're constantly going to live in uncertainty and fear if you're thinking the afterlife is not real or you're not sure where you'll go in the afterlife. Because there's, you know, kind of two sets of people. I mean, I have friends like that. People that think, oh, there's no afterlife. You just die and that's it. And then I have people saying, how can you be so sure that what you believe is true? Well, I can be sure by a few ways. One, the Bible tells me. But two, Christ rose from the dead to show me that he has power over death. So in order to have a positive mindset, we need to constantly remind ourselves that we have this future in heaven. And you know what? That mindset radically changes the way that you look at life. Let me ask you, have you ever been on a vacation? I'm sure most of you, but have you ever planned a vacation, okay? My job kind of like in the household as the dad is I do a lot of the vacation planning. And I will just tell you this, no matter what vacation, whether it's with my family, whether it's with a bunch of friends, when I'm planning a vacation, one of the most exciting things about a vacation is the planning for me. I enjoy planning it almost as much as I enjoy being on the vacation. Does anybody feel like that? Am I just weird? It's exciting to me, okay? I love like looking forward to it, planning it, getting all the details together, and just looking, oh man, and then that day that I go on that vacation, it's gonna be awesome. Well, you know what? I parallel the Christian life a lot to that if you're thinking about heaven daily, because each day of your life is a life lived in view of heaven. So when your mind is focused on that, all of a sudden, nothing can bring it down. And I can tell you what, the world we live in today, I know I can get an amen on this one. The world we live in today just seems so dark. And when we look at our lives on this earth and we see the evil that's coming to all the different places on this world, we start to become negative. What's going to happen? I can't believe this. Or maybe closer to home. Maybe things are going bad in your life right now. Maybe you're having financial difficulties. Maybe you're sick. Maybe just you're realizing, okay, you know what? I'm getting older and I hope there's an afterlife. You might be thinking that way. And the negative mindset that you start to form because it seems like things are looking worse rather than looking better. Well, the promise that believers hold to is, I have a future in heaven. No one can change that. So my mindset needs to focus in on that, no matter what is going on in this world. Not only do I have a future in heaven, but that verse also says, Paul says, I belong to Christ. Okay, I belong to Jesus. Now, this is a very strange concept for us as Christians, because, or just as Americans in some senses, because we never think of ourselves as a possession of another. We never think of ourselves like that, like I belong to. We don't think of ourselves like that. But as a Christian, the truth of the matter is this. When we trust in Jesus, we belong to Jesus. But what does that really mean? Like, what does that look like? What should that do to our mindset? Well, there's a few things that that should do. And what I would like you to do is keep your thumb in Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. That's further along in the New Testament. Not sure the page number in the church Bible. But it's 2 Peter chapter 1. And there's a few things that can encourage us towards this positive mindset. So we have a place in heaven, or I have a future in heaven. I belong to Jesus. But what does it really mean to belong to Jesus? Well, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says this. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. So here's what this passage is telling us. Because we belong to him, he wants the best for us. here's the picture, so to speak, for all of us as Christians. When we trusted in Jesus, it's like God reached out and pulled us out of the mire, pulled us out of corruption. So what he's saying is, I have something better for you. I don't want you to live that way any longer. I don't want you to live by sinful desires any longer. I want you to live by my desires. You know, sometimes we meet other Christians, right, that are, you know, just living a life that's not pleasing to the Lord. But for us as Christians, we have to say, you know what? We belong to Jesus. God wants something better for us. So if you're in that state right now, if you're living for the wrong reasons, if you're turning your back on God, what I would like to remind you of is you belong to Jesus. He has something better for you. You belong to him. You're his possession. That's not what he wants for you. Just like parents would look at their children and say, you know what? You belong to me and I want the best for you. I want the best life. So if you're doing something wrong, I want to come alongside you and help you to get out of that. You know, if you're a young person here and you're looking at your parents, you're like, they just want to squelch all my fun. That's not what they want to do. And that's not what God wants to do to each one of us. He wants to pull you out of that corrupted lifestyle. He wants the best for you. But if you flip over back a few pages to 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And some of you might have this verse committed to memory. 1 Peter 5, 7 says this. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So because you and I belong to Jesus, he will take care of us. You know what? We get into a negative mindset because we think that God's not there. We think that God doesn't care. We think that he won't take care of us. Well, this is a promise from his word. Because you and I belong to him, he cares. He cares about the little things. He cares about the big things. Don't ever think that there's an anxiety that you can't cast on him. Don't ever look at your life and say, well, that's too small. God doesn't care about it. Because he cares. He cares because you and I are his possession. He cares for you deeply. And that's one of the benefits of belonging to him. But the final one is in 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9, if you turn back one page, it says this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. There again, we belong to him. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. You know what? Because we belong to Jesus, we have a higher calling. He has called us to a higher calling, and he's called us out of the darkness and into the light so we can proclaim how excellent he is. Let me ask you a question. Do you do that? Are you an Eeyore at work or at school or around your family? Things stink. I won the lotto, but I have to pay taxes on it. Are you that type of person? Seriously. Or are you proclaiming the excellencies of the Lord who has bought you with a price, made you his own possession, has called you to a higher calling? See, that type of mindset is an optimistic type of mindset. When we start to really understand, you know what? No matter what this world throws at me, I have a future in heaven. No matter what comes my way, I belong to a God who wants the best for me, who cares for me, who's called me to a higher calling. Nothing is going to bring me down because I know these things are true in Christ. Now, those first two things are things that we can claim. But the next three things that I want to talk about are things that we deal with as far as life every day. So the first one is this. I will not let the past hold me back. I want you to go back to Philippians. We're not going to turn anymore. We're going to stay right in Philippians for the rest of the message. And it's this. I will not let the past hold me back. Let's look at verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So now what Paul is saying is this. I'm going to put the past behind me because it's the past. Some of you know of Paul's past, right? Remember, he actually changed his name. His name was Saul, and he actually was opposed to the cause of Christ, got people killed for following Christ. So you can only imagine that when Paul rolled into an area to tell people about Jesus, everybody kind of took a step back and said, whoa, we don't know about this guy. We don't know about this guy. Like, he did some serious damage. And maybe he's trying to get in real close and be like friendly fire eventually. I don't know what's going on with this guy. But Paul says, you know what? I can't let that hold me back. I have to continue on. I can't let that hold me back. You know what? Maybe your past is wrought with sinful decisions or difficult situations that have left you feeling worthless, helpless, angry, bitter. Bottom line, negative. Your mindset is just thinking, how could God use me? How could I live for God? What if people knew what I've been through? Or you just, in your own mind, can't get the heavy weight off your shoulders. It's not even that you're hearing like I'm worthless. It's kind of like you're feeling this is a heavy burden that I can't carry. I can't carry this. I can't weather this storm. I can't do this. It's holding me back. It's pulling me back. Some of you know the musician Johnny Cash. This is what he said about our past. He said, "You build on failure. You use it as a stepping stone. Close the door on the past." So what he's saying is this: you have something that's going on in your past that you're having a difficult time forgetting about. Well, you know what? Look at it and use it to build a stepping stone on, to actually learn from, to actually help you to move forward. These things could be opportunities for us to learn from and grow from if we're looking at them with a positive mindset rather than a negative mindset. But if we dwell on these things, here's what's going to happen. More negativity is going to come our way. More negativity is going to come our way. But on the other hand, you might be thinking to yourself, you know what? It's not my past that's holding me back. It's not the things that I've done or the things that were done to me. It's not a sin. But you know what? You know what's really holding me back about my past? I like the past better than now. Some of you might feel that way. My past was great. Back in the day, I love this. Back in the day, things were better. Back in the day when my kids were little. Back in the day, you know, and you keep on living what? Back in the day, because it was so much better back then. God's not saying that you shouldn't have fond memories of back in the day, but here's what Ecclesiastes says. It says, "Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this." Ouch, that one hurt, didn't it? Don't say that, because it's not from wisdom that you ask this. Some of you right now are not living in the present because you're so caught up in how good the past was. That's not a Christ-like mindset. Because guess what? God placed you in the present for a reason, and he wants you to do certain things at certain times for certain reasons. And if he wanted it to be like the past, guess what? It would be like the past, but for some reason, it's not. We live in the present, so we shouldn't let the past hold us back. And you have to say this to yourself: I'm not going to let the past hold me back. No matter what happened, good, bad, or indifferent, I'm not going to let those things hold me back. But then in verse 14, Paul tells us this: he will live with purpose. Verse 14 says this: "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." In order to have an optimistic mindset, we have to say to ourselves, "I will live with purpose." You know, when you find yourself questioning, what's this life all about? What should I be doing with my life? How am I supposed to live? What are the real questions of life? At some point, I believe that every person hits this. Like, what am I doing here? Okay? Is it just about collecting stuff? Is it just about doing things? What am I doing here? Well, to break free from a negative mindset, what you have to do is say, I have a purpose. And if you don't know what that purpose is, you need to find out from God's word what that purpose is. And I'll just give you a little hint from God's word what the purpose of every person is. It's found in Isaiah 43, and verse 7, and Psalm 37, 4. The purpose of all people is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. See, maybe you have a negative mindset Maybe you have a negative mindset. Anybody ever read Pilgrim's Progress? If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, read it. You can go on Amazon. You can get the Audible app and listen to it. Okay, there's a guy that he runs into. His name's Mr. Worldly Wisdom. Mr. Worldly Wisdom. And Mr. Worldly Wisdom, what he does is he tries to derail Christian and say, you know what? Here is some worldly wisdom for you. Life's about getting stuff. Life's about accumulating. Life's about doing the best you can and getting a promotion. Life's about raising your kids. Life's about having a good marriage. Life's about increasing financially. Life's about all these different things. So none of those things, well, not all of those things are necessarily bad or sinful. But all of a sudden, when we take our purpose out and we look and say, this is what it's all about, here's what happens. We realize that that wasn't what it was all about. Because it's all about glorifying God. So take, for instance, something like a lot of you are raising families right now. And you look and say, you know what? It's all about raising my family. And I would agree. A lot of it's about raising your family. But Mr. Worldly Wisdom would say, you know what? As a parent, here's what you got to do. You got to give your kid everything they ever wanted. You got to make sure they're involved in everything. You got to make sure you raise these great citizens. And that's what Mr. Worldly Wisdom would say. And you would agree. And you would say, yes, that is true. But all of a sudden, Mr. Worldly Wisdom didn't say anything about the spiritual component in your child's life. And you haven't focused your children on anything spiritual. You yourself hasn't really focused on anything spiritual because nobody around you has focused on anything spiritual, so you had no examples. And all of a sudden, this great thing that you're doing, which became your purpose in life, raising your kids the right way, becomes only half good because you forgot about the spiritual component. You forgot about why you and your children are here. See how that works? See, if you don't live with purpose, if you don't say, okay, God has blessed me with these children, how am I going to teach them to glorify God? You miss the boat. That's what happens. You miss the boat. How am I going to teach them to glorify God? And you know what? When they start to glorify God, here's what happens. The Psalm 37:4 comes in. It says, delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Here's what happens. You start to enjoy him. And all of a sudden, the desires of your heart become his desires, and it changes not only your heart, your whole mindset, your whole outlook on life. Then you look and say, you know what? My family's here to glorify God, and I'm going to start here. And you know what? For some of you, you might be in the same situation as I was as a young person. Wasn't raised like that. So now you have to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? I wasn't raised like that, but that doesn't matter. I'm changing it, drawing the line. My family is going to be different. We're going to have purpose. We're not going to live the way Mr. Worldly Wisdom and every other person decides to live. See, the philosophies of the world sometimes can drag us down and into thinking those types of thoughts. So our purpose in life is to focus on God, bring him glory. How do we bring him glory? Tell others about him. How do we bring him glory? Obey his commands. How do we bring him glory? Serve him. How do we bring him glory? Enjoy him, who he is, and what he's done. The more we focus on him, the more we have an optimistic mindset. The more we pull away from him, the more we have a pessimistic mindset. You know, one of the things that I love about being around other Christians that actually have a mindset of serving the Lord, is they're just a pleasure to be around. You know, I've met many Christians in my life. And you know what? The cool thing about meeting other Christians, it doesn't matter what state they're from. It doesn't matter what country they're from. When I meet them and I hear that they love the Lord, it's like that common bond right there. It's like there's my brother or sister in Christ that loves the Lord and wants to serve him. This brings us to our final point. Because when we're turning away from God and living the way he wants us to, it'll eventually end up in shambles. It'll eventually end up in sinful habits, sinful lifestyles, sinful thoughts, sinful actions. So it brings us to our final point, which Paul says in verse 15. He says this, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So now what he's saying is this. Paul's saying, I will pursue maturity. Paul's saying, the mature Christian thinks this way. The immature thinks negatively. And he says, listen, if you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. Isn't that a great promise? When you're thinking otherwise, God will reveal to you. How does he reveal to you? Well, sometimes through his word, sometimes through a fellow Christian, sometimes through a message, sometimes through a Bible study, sometimes through reading your kids their devotions, and you are like, whoa, you know how many times that has happened to me? That I've read a Bible story that was summarized down to 4 lines, and I'm like, wow, I missed that. The last 22 years I've been a Christian, and I missed that? I needed the guy who wrote the children's book to teach me? But you know what? Guess what I would have missed out on? That, if I wasn't teaching my children. You see how that works? So as a Christian, we always have to be pursuing maturity. The mature faith realizes this: pleasing the Lord will reap a good life. That's what the optimistic mature faith says. The immature negative faith would say, pleasing myself will result in a good life. See how that works? Now, how many people do you know in this world that are living the first way? And you know what? As we see less and less people living that way, more and more people are not seeing the truth of God and his word. So you might be thinking to yourself, you know what? I try. I try to do the right thing. I try to have the right mindset. I try, but I always fall. I always wind up doing the wrong things. This is an uphill battle. I cannot win. I hear what you're saying. I agree with it, but I can't win. Well, what God would say is, here's some good news for you. You don't have to do it alone. Christ takes hold of us and does it in and through us if we're willing to allow him to. Through Jesus, we have the power to change and grow in the way that he desires. God will not give you the power to follow through and be successful unless that's what he wants for you. God is giving you that power. God enables you to do these things through him. So the optimistic mindset says this: because I have a future in heaven and I belong to Jesus, I will not let the past hold me back. I will live with purpose and I will pursue maturity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you that we could look to this life and this future and the next future with an optimistic outlook. Lord, we realize that our minds have so much to do with how we act and interact with other people. So we pray that we wouldn't be stuck in that negative rut. We pray that we would be optimistic based upon your promises and what you've said. I'm thankful again for this day, Lord, and I pray that if there's anyone here that hasn't trusted in you, that hasn't started their spiritual journey, that they would trust in you so that they could know that they have a future in heaven with you because they belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.